We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Recognizing our need for God's mercy, let us confess our sin and seek reconciliation with God and with each other. And we confess together, God of justice and compassion, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have not always been faithful stewards of your creation. We have often failed to share the bounty of your harvest with the poor and needy. Forgive us our sin, increase our faith, strengthen us in service, and bring us to everlasting life. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all of our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, the compassion of Christ and the hope of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. They be with you. Let us pray. Scripture tells us that yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Amen.
We conclude our series, Epic Fails, God Prevails, with the most important events of all in human history, the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The crucifixion would appear to be the most epic fail in all of history. Instead, through the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus, God changes everything. 1 Corinthians Chapter 1, verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The word of the Lord.
Join me in prayer, please. Lord God, we thank you and we praise you for this time. Open our hearts that we may not only understand more fully what you have done for us, but we may experience your presence and be healed. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Go ahead and be seated, please. You know, all of these epic fails that we've been talking about over these months have all been due to human failure, every one of them. Whether it was King David and his sin with Bathsheba and that sin of murder, he murdered her husband, or whatever it was, you know, Paul persecuting Christians. We could run through that whole list, and Jonah, I mean, run through the whole thing, and we begin to realize every one of them was a human epic failure. Going back to the very first one with Adam and Eve, epic fail. But God's promise, God's truth, God's love, God's plan, God's covenant was going to prevail. But we get to this last epic fail, and there was no human failure in terms of the one who suffered for us. Now, here's the thing. The epic failure wasn't Jesus dying on the cross, was it? The epic failure was us putting him on the cross. All right? In fact, let's go to this verse of Paul's. He says this, he's writing to the Corinthian Christians, and he's reminding them, these Corinthians were very, what we might call, cosmopolitan, very citified. They are intellectual, they're very very savvy in the ways of the world, a bit too savvy, matter of fact. But they had learned about Christianity. They learned about the cross. And part of what Paul's saying here is, look, as you are trying to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people out in the world, you need to know that this is utter foolishness to them, because to have your Savior die on the cross through worldly eyes would say, that's an epic fail. Why would you worship somebody who was killed, who died in the way that he died, stripped and naked and bleeding and suffering? What kind of a Savior, what kind of a King is that? We're celebrating Christ the King, and you go out and say, well, Jesus is my King. Well, wait a minute. Tell me about his military victories. Tell me about his wise rulings. Tell me about his throne and his palace and all of those things. And you're saying, he didn't have a palace. Didn't even have a home of his own, really, in those last years. Didn't have a military power. What kind of a king is that? Paul said, this is to the worldly eyes, Christ as King, Christ as Lord, Christ as Savior. For all the worldly viewpoint, it's a failure. It's foolishness. But he says, for those who are perishing, for those who are so engrossed in the ways of the world, they don't understand that kind of sacrifice. They don't understand those words like, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. They don't get that because they're looking from a worldly perspective and a worldly perspective only. But then he says, but to those to us who are being saved, we see the power in it. We see the power in the cross. That old song, that power in the blood, right? We see that, but the world just can't. And so part of our great calling is to help open the book, open the truth to them, so that they can see that Jesus suffering and dying on the cross was not a result of his, you know, he who knew no sin. He's up there. And to explain why he had to die. And if we go to the next text here, 1 Peter 2, we're told that by Peter, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. And then he quotes Isaiah, by his wounds you have been healed. That makes no sense to the world. None. And so as we look at this, learning, each one of us learning, first of all, what this means for you, but also how you can explain that to another person. To say, okay, Jesus, who is without sin, how going to the cross was not his failure, but due to our sinfulness, due to our desire for power, desire for position, desire to not have a king, at least not a king to like that, a king like we want. He himself bore our sins. There's a story of a couple of young men who went through elementary school together, middle school, and high school. And after high school, one of them kind of went off and got in all kinds of trouble. Was in and out of the courts, in and out of jail. And the other went through university, ended up getting a law degree, became a judge. Well, some years later, the judge was up there, and in came his friend. And I know he should have recused himself, but that's not the story. The story's this, that in walks this man. And boy, he had done a doozy. And the judge heard the trial. And as much as he wanted to let his childhood friend off, he knew the law and that the law and justice needed to be done. And so as he heard the case, he passed sentence on the man. And the fine was $20,000. He had a choice. He could throw him in jail or pay $20,000. So he said, it's going to be $20,000. He knew his friend didn't have it. And so hit that gavel with that judgment. And then came down next to his friend, and he personally wrote the check for $20,000. That's what Jesus has done for us. You know, he is the righteous judge who knows you and loves you. And in this world, we must have that righteous judge. I mean, can you imagine if there were no rules, no boundaries, nothing, but we have a God who is perfect and follows the law perfectly, but then comes and writes the check for us and sets us free, bearing the cost himself. That's what Jesus has done. But of course, what's the cost? In fact, let's go to the next picture. That's how he wrote the check for you. That's how he took your sins and how he paid the price. The wages of sin, Paul says, is death. That's you know, the judgment is there. And we all are all judged guilty. The gavel has dropped, but then Jesus comes and says, I will pay the price. And so now in this life, you and I live free because of the price that he paid for our sins. Now that's a message for folks. To be set free and to live free. Now, being the ungrateful wretches that we often are, we go back and do it again. But Christ reminds us, and that's one of the reasons we do come together, why we do come and worship, why we do read those devotions, why we do get into God's Word, because Christ is always, I don't know how many times has this happened to you? It happens to me all the time, but how many times has it happened to you? Just think about it. Where you have read something and are completely convicted by it. And you think, oh. You were impatient with somebody, and then all of a sudden you're reading just this couple of verses about patience and how patient God is with you. Okay. I'm not going to go down my own line here, all right? But you have your own. I have mine. We're probably pretty similar. But the great news is that price is paid for all time. And he says, I did this for you forever. Now, what's amazing, Peter goes on and he said, when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Even there, he's saying, I trust you, Father. I trust you. And he bore those sins. But then we're told, for we like sheep have gone astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Well, there's so much more here. But I want to get to the second part of this because we have to. And that is the resurrection. The resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's look at that next one, that empty tomb. Because without the resurrection, you know, we are most to be pitied. That's what Paul says. We're told, Peter goes on. We're back in Peter. He does some wonderful, he teaches so beautifully on this. But he says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven. For whom? For you. In fact, I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, you have an inheritance kept in heaven. Say it. You have an inheritance kept in heaven. All right. You have an inheritance kept in heaven. You have an inheritance kept in heaven. I got to get these others over here. And you know what? That is something to rejoice in. In 2 Corinthians 5, Paul says this. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, because of this, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. And all of this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us that ministry of reconciliation. You know, part of the beauty of this is that, you know, as we, no matter what you may face in your life, this is what the fact of the resurrection does, is that no matter what trials we have, no matter what trouble we face, no matter what sorrow we encounter, what we see with this open tomb is that it's going to be all right. Jesus will make it all right. When that tomb was open, when he went and spoke to those hundreds of people, as he broke bread with his disciples, as he ascended into heaven, what he was saying to them is, you know what? No matter what you will face, it's going to be okay. The victory is won. And you have this place that's prepared for you, that I have prepared for you. And though you die, you will live with me forever. Though you die, you will be with me forever. And so you know what? Those disciples who were behind locked doors for fear, those disciples who denied they even knew Jesus, like Peter, those disciples, after the resurrection, notice, I mean, a lot of this was, they were still really fearful after the crucifixion. But with the resurrection, with that hope, the epic failures of life, this is the ultimate in God prevails. You know what Jesus says to those disciples? You get to prevail with me forever. That's the good news. That's the good news that you have, that we have together, and that we're called to proclaim. Let's pray. Gracious Lord God, we thank you and we praise you for this time, for your goodness, your grace, your mercy, your love. And Lord, we thank you that you were willing to go to the cross. And not only willing, but you did. And though you cried out in agony, it was you bearing our sins, taking on the cost, taking on our death, and setting us free. Open our hearts daily to receive that good news and to know and with confidence that no matter what comes, you always win, and we win with you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. In our offering prayer, blessed are you, O Lord our God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts. With them, we offer ourselves to your service and dedicate our lives to the care and redemption of all that you have made. Through the sake of him who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Would you continue in prayer with me, please? Lord God, Heavenly King, we praise you for your goodness, your mercy, and your love. We praise you for your holy church. We praise you for this time and the opportunity that we have to worship you, to lift up voices in praise without fear. And on this day, we remember Christians throughout this world who are also worshiping. And we ask a special blessing and a hedge of protection around those who are worshiping in fear, those who are having to worship in secret. Bless them as they gather. Bless those leaders. Bless those that are hungry but still gathering. Bless those who are in times of war but still are together. We thank you, Lord, that we are bound to them through the blood of Christ, through our faith in you. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, we are grateful. Grateful that we have an opportunity to serve one another in love. We thank you for our communion ministers who go out each month and make visits. We thank you for those who simply go to visit and talk with a friend or bring encouragement. And Lord God, we lift up those who are in homebound or in care facilities, including Wilburn and Marilyn, Emma, Linda, Lynette, and Marilyn. Bless them in these days. We also ask that you be with Emma Hirschfield and all who have been hospitalized, those in the care of physical therapists or undergoing treatments. Lord, help us as the body of Christ to reach out in love. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we pray for peace throughout this world. Peace in the Middle East, peace in Ukraine, peace throughout the continent of Africa, peace within communities and within families, within marriages, within friendships. Bring reconciliation and hope and love. Lord, in your mercy. Now into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We're going to disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May in body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and preserve you unto eternal life. Amen. May we pray, please. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. And we pray that in your mercy you would strengthen us through this gift in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. For the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now, children of God, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We join together in our concluding song. Now, this time of worship is ended. Service begins. We leave to live out God's call to save the lost and strengthen the saved. May we go to be and make disciples, blessing and teaching in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And remember, he is with you always, even till the end of time.